Good evening, my name is Richard. This is Over and Over and Over Again. It is Friday, it's 7:30. It can only mean one thing, of course. The Arsenal women's show. Got a lot to get through tonight. We're going to look back on the dramatic game, wasn't it, in the end against Manchester United last Friday. There was a rather controversial game at the weekend as well, wasn't there, between Manchester City and Chelsea. So we'll have a look at that as well. Also, as well, of course, we'll be looking ahead to Sunday. A massive, massive game at the Emirates, isn't it? Arsenal women are playing Aston Villa. It's a must-win game now, isn't it? It really, really is. So it's going to be a great show, and we'll be starting the other side of this. Joining us is, of course, our regular on the show. It's Amar. How are you doing? On time for once as well, which is nice to see.
Well, yeah, I know. I didn't go to work today. I wasn't feeling too good, but I'm slowly recovering. So, no, it's good to at least have this to keep me going. So, no, I've been looking for this for a couple of weeks now, especially after last week, which I was able to watch the game. But, no, it's good to be back. And there's a lot to discuss, so it should be good.
Yeah, there is a lot to discuss. And discussing it with us as well via video link is...
Hello, good evening, everybody. You know, I'm sorry that I can't be part of the live show tonight, but the reason is I'm flying to London again. I want to be live at the Emirates for Sunday's match, Arsenal versus Aston Villa. So, yeah, I'm right in the air when you record the show. So I thought I'll give my thoughts so you... Yeah, you get to hear what I think about the actual subjects.
So Andreas will be joining us at various points throughout the show on pre-recorded videos. He is flying at this moment in time over to London, of course, for the game on Sunday. So obviously we wish him a safe flight as well, of course, as always. And I think he's not in his usual hotel again, is he? I think, but we'll find out about that, I'm sure, at some point.
Yeah.
But anyway, he didn't quite like the new hotel quite as much, did he? But anyway, maybe we'll get used to it just to see him again. Yeah. But it's good that he's over there. So we'll be looking forward to his vlog, of course, at the weekend. Now, there's only one place we can start the show, of course. That is Rewinding 7 Days. Of course, this time last week, instead of doing a show, we were watching some football, and it was quite good in the end, wasn't it? I mean, it was a game that had, I thought it had everything, really. I mean, it had a little bit of controversy, it had excitement, it had great football, it had some great goals, and also it had some mistakes as well, as I'm sure we will come on to. But overall, I suppose, a draw away from home against Manchester United isn't a disaster. We could have, maybe should have won the game, but equally, we were, a couple of minutes away from losing, wasn't we? So I suppose we've got to look on it as a point gained, and hopefully it might kickstart our season. I mean, what did you make of it, Amar? Because it was a really good game of football, wasn't it, apart from anything else?
I mean, it was a fantastic advert for the WSL. I mean, we've seen it down the years. But yeah, it was end-to-end. Both teams were going at it from the go. But I think the reality is, it is a point gained, and we could have lost that game. The reality is, for me, when we look back at the game itself, we scored two fantastic goals. And if you think about the chances they created, especially second half, the only real chance they created that comes to mind was that effort from Jay-Z, which only narrowly missed Leo Golton at the far post. If you think about the chances we created, we hit the post with Russo, we forced a save from Earps off a header. We were by far the better team. Not many people go to Leeds Sports Village and outplay Manchester United like we did second half. So whilst it is a point gain, I still also feel that the two goals that we conceded came from individual errors rather than them cutting through us, which, okay, yes, it's a point gain, but it's also frustrating because they were both avoidable goals.
They were, yeah. I mean, the first one in particular, I thought, made a big impact on the game because we were 1-0 up, fantastic goal that we scored, and we looked fairly comfortable in the game, didn't we? And then from out of nothing, they get a goal quite close to half-time, and I thought that affected us a bit, didn't it, either side of half-time, really? It took us a while to recover, didn't it, from that? I mean, it was a terrible mistake by Sabrina. I mean, I don't know what she was thinking.
Yeah, no, I think she just saw the ball, and as she came for it, I think, just stay on your line, or do these code to her, and maybe show her out wide. Don't just have a fresh air shot and leave her tapping into the net. But to be fair to her, I thought she came back well off her. She looked assured in dealing with crosses. I know there's been slight criticism of Manu in the past not being able to handle crosses. But after that, I think she looked pretty assured. So she did did come back well after that, and it jolted her confidence. But yeah, again, just maybe if she just showed her down on the left hand side rather than just try to kick it. It was a good ball. We shouldn't have allowed that ball to happen in the first place, and then it caused a bit of indecision. But at least afterwards, I think she more than redeemed herself for it. That's what I was like, redeemed herself for it.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously for a goalkeeper, that's a terrible, terrible mistake. And it's a mistake a top quality goalkeeper shouldn't be making. But I suppose every player makes mistakes at times. It's just unfortunate if you're a goalkeeper, 9 times out of 10, your mistake leads to directly to a goal, isn't it? Because there's nothing anyone else can do to get you out of the problem. So it was a bad time as well for it to happen in the game as well. Would we have won had that not happened? We'll never know. Man, you might have come back stronger in the second half. Anyway, we don't know. But yeah, it was two poor goals to concede, definitely. And with the chances that we created on the night, I mean, you know, Mary Earps made some good saves, didn't she? She was the busier goalkeeper. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah. So I feel that we were unfortunate not to win in some ways, due to the way the game went. But then when you're losing in the 93rd minute, you'd be grateful that you've come out. Because, I mean, two defeats in a row at the start of the season, that would have been a really, really difficult thing to come back from, wouldn't it? In terms of the title and in terms of even the top three, would have been really difficult, wouldn't it? Two out of two defeats.
Yeah, you can't really. We saw what happened to Manchester City last season. They lost Aston Villa first game. I can't remember who they lost the second game now.
Chelsea.
Yes, that was away. They were both away, weren't they? And that's the one, it's difficult to recover from, but they did well. And, you know, they probably should have pipped us the Champions League in the end and only missed out with a few defeats later. But yeah, no, in a 22-game league, there's really very small. I mean, okay, when you compare it, it's not really comparable to the Premier League. You can maybe afford to not start. Not in any league, you can really afford to start slowly. But particularly in a game in a league which is only 22, you start slowly, then there's no chance of a title. You're almost chasing from the off, and you're already behind the eight ball as it is, and they know how good the teams have started. I mean, look at it, we're already 5 points behind. Okay, there's a long way to go, but the margin for error in this league is almost. It's almost non-existent in a way. You can't afford to start slowly and expect that other teams will slip up and do you favors. It has to be under your control in your court. And I mean, it's good we didn't start with two defeats, but you know the areas in which we need improvement I don't want to borrow a face from VAR. They are evident for every plain. They are plain for all to see where we need improvement for sure.
Yeah, I mean that they are, and maybe in a sense the fact that we haven't started the season particularly well means now that, as you rightly say, there's not a lot of room for error now, is there? Going forward, we can't afford to lose a lot more games and draw a lot more games now because we've already dropped 4 points or 5 points. We've dropped technically in the first two games, so. And that might focus everybody's attention on it all a little bit more now because we don't have Europe, as we know. No. And if we're going to win the WSL now, we're going to have to be pretty consistent, aren't we, between now and the end of the season. We can't really afford, you know, too many more bad results. We just can't afford to. Like you said, in a 22-game season, if you lose three games, you're pretty much done, aren't you, in terms of winning the league. We almost had two out of two. So I think we need to be sort of grateful in a way that we didn't lose that game because we could easily have done. But, you know, I agree. I'm a little bit frustrated. I was at the time particularly that we hadn't won. It was a big opportunity to beat one of our rivals. And they're going to be rivals for that top three, certainly, aren't they? Even for the title, potentially. So it was an opportunity to have got 3 points on them. And we could have and we should have maybe done it. And in the end, we've come away with a point. And I suppose we have to be reasonably happy with that, I suppose.
Reasonably happy.
I mean, it's not a disaster. It could have been worse. Terry's in the chat, as he says, good evening, Richard. Hope you enjoyed your little getaway. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, we just got back today, so that was nice. Like, jazzy intro. Yeah, I did a bit of that this afternoon when I was
going to say, that's different. Different.
Just put a few different bits of music on and change it a little bit. He says, evening to the man of mystery and the amazing Ammar. And he says, as Ammar, Ammar's on time today, so we need to make the most of it, which is good. Terry says, I think D'Angelo should be home for treason at the first goal alone. I mean, it was a terrible mistake. And he knows it. Everybody knows it was her mistake. And, you know, you can't hide. When you're a goalkeeper, you can't hide from those things. And all she can do is try to get over that and do the best in the rest of the game. I thought the second goal was a bit of a lack of communication, wasn't it, between Sabrina and Amanda. Obviously, I think Amanda was hoping or expecting the goalkeeper to come and get the ball, holding off the forward. And, of course, I think Sabrina was just expecting Amanda to boot it into the stand, which is what she should have done. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, mistakes happen in football and hopefully we've got two bad ones out of the way in one game, and it might mean that we don't make any more bad ones for the next 10 games. You know, we've got them all out of the way, maybe, but we'll see. Yeah. I'm not totally convinced that we won't make any more, but anyway, we'll see. Wayne's in the chat as well. He says, yeah, we've got to get serious now. I was happy with how we played, to be honest. Just soft goals to concede, I thought. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the point. I thought we played well for most of the game. We played some good football. We created a lot of good chances, and on another day we would have scored 3 or 4 goals, won the game, happy days. And unfortunately, those mistakes in a game like that came back to cost us a little bit. But yeah, we played well, and that was, you know, we didn't play particularly well against Liverpool. It was a good response, wasn't it, Ammar? I think that was important, wasn't it, that we responded to the Liverpool defeat with a much improved performance, and we did that even though we couldn't quite get the win.
Oh yeah, well, it couldn't get any poorer than the game against Liverpool. I mean, I was watching brief highlights back again, though. I struggled to remain where I said ever creating a chance. I think maybe Rachel Laws made a couple of good saves from Ruben Moy and Marnham in the first half. But second half, created next to nothing. And again, I just look at it. I think, it was improved. But you can still see, he made 6 changes. Okay, he Jonas made 6 changes. But I just think, you know, in the past, he knew his best 11. And at the moment, I'm not trying to say he's maybe a bit conflicted. It's a good headache for the manager to have options, but I just think he doesn't know his settled 11, particularly the back line. And not having somebody like Leah, who we know, let's be honest, if that's Leah with regards to the second goal, she boots into Rosette. There's no question for me, or she heads it back to the keeper. She does not make that mistake, if it's Rafa or whoever. I just think when she's such a big miss, okay, she's not back till January, but I just hope they learn from the errors and they can come back for them. But it was important that we bounced back against Liverpool. We were so much better. We really had the best chances. I always feared that if we didn't take them, that Manchester United score, and it exactly happened to through Mallard. But I was also impressed with the way the squad rolled their sleeves up. And you have to give credit in the end. Okay, it was a bit questionable at the time that he made that triple substitution. I thought Steiner was superb, and he scored absolutely world class. Well, I would say that was a world class striker's finish he scored, and Steph was impressive for me too. The assist from Steph as well. She's arguably, I don't want to be harsh on it, but out of all the defenders we've got at the moment that are fit, Maritz is all right at right back, but I think Steph is probably the best defender by far, although she's very extremely consistent. You know what you're going to get from her. So that was really good. We responded really well, and good to see the substitutions did pay off, although again with Pelova I was a bit surprised she went off, but Caitlin maybe could have come on a bit earlier. But again, it's good to see that those substitutions that the manager made did pay off, and it culminated in that wonderful first goal for Chloe Lacasse. So that was good. But going forward, maybe I would like to see a bit more settled team going forward.
Yeah, and I think at the moment, obviously, we've got a few new players have come in, a couple of defenders who obviously both started against Manchester United. First time they've played together. Obviously, Chloe, as you mentioned, she's a new player coming in. Alessia Russo, of course, as well. And he started both her and Steiner Blackstenius, which not too many people would have been expecting him to do very often. So I think it's a matter of him understanding the new players figuring out the best way that's going to work in the team I mean, he's always said, hasn't he, Jonas, that it's not the first, there's not just a starting 11, there's a finishing 11.
True.
Maybe he's trying to get that balance, I think, sometimes. And sometimes he doesn't always get it right, and sometimes he does. And I think that on Friday last week, the starting 11 was an interesting starting 11.
It was very interesting.
But the team that finished the game was really strong, wasn't it? The way that we finished that game was really good. You know, and the substitutions made a big impact. And that was important. But I agree, Stina Blackstenny has had a great game. She's got a great goal. But I can see her being pushed out a little bit with Russo. Ooh. Clearly, Jonas, he likes Russo, doesn't he? He wanted to spend a lot of money on her in January. He's got her now. And he's going to play her, I think, pretty much every game, most of the time. And I think Stina's going to have to fit in around that. Which is a shame because she had such a great season last season and she's still got so much to offer, as we saw. She's still a fantastic player. And she to see her playing more than I feel she's going to. But we'll see what happens. I mean, it's a long season. There's a lot of games. And we'll see what the team is on Sunday. But I don't know. I hope that Stina doesn't get pushed out. Leslie's a great player and she had a great game on Friday. But I'm hoping that there's some way of fitting them both in some way to make it work. It didn't really work with Russo out wide, did it? It didn't suit Russo. It didn't really work for Leslie, did it? And when she changed through the middle, she was much more dangerous. She could have scored two or three goals and she was very pivotal to how we played, as Stina had been before. So I think it's going to be one or the other going forward, mainly, do you, and swapping.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. It's a good headache as well. I mean, he started with Russo, Blackstenius and Pullover, didn't he? I think Pullover looked pretty good as well. It's so difficult, especially when Beth comes back. I know it might be a bit too soon. I know that he hinted in his press conference I saw earlier that she might be fit, but don't rush her back, as we've known in the past what that the dangers of rushing somebody back. So only if she's really fit, maybe give her 20-30 minute cameo or something like that. But I thought Stina and Leslie both complemented each other really well. You could see them talking during the game. And then it's interesting you put. I personally think, I know Pullover's a good player. When Beth comes in, she's an automatic for me. And who do you play alongside? You play Caitlin Ford, who she's played alongside so well in the past. You can't play effectively with a front four because that's maybe a bit too risky. But one of those two may have to be sacrificed because I know Caitlin may have to be sacrificed because you can't fit all those four in. And then you've got Viv to come back as well. So, I mean, it's going to be extremely difficult for the manager. So, yeah, I mean, let's see. But, I think Caitlin Ford, but possibly, and then Lacasse as well. Oh, my God, very good. And, well, Lena Hurting, you've got so many. I know one or two maybe probably wouldn't start the game. But, I mean, it's going to be a dilemma for the manager. A good headache or a bad headache, who knows? But, I mean, I honestly don't know who he's going to pick week in, week out. But if I had to, at the moment, I mean, Caitlin, I think, was unlucky not to start. But, you know, maybe it was sort of just trying to work their way back in after such a demanding schedule. So it would be interesting to see who plays as the front three. But for me, it would probably be something like Leslie, Beth, and possibly Caitlin or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, you know, we're talking about getting a settled team and Jonas figuring out his best team. And he needs to do that because you need relationships in the team. You need quite often. But because we've got so many options in that front line now, and certainly when, as you said, when Beth and Viv are back, which might not be that long, it's going to be, I think there is going to be quite a lot of rotation, which I don't think is a bad thing in your front line because you can give the opposition different things to think about in a game, can't you? Because 1 minute they've got Stina running through the middle. Next they've got Leslie coming at them, or they've got Caitlin coming from the left-hand side, Beth from the right, or Chloe coming in. And, you know, so many good options that we can utilise that as well and maybe have a more settled midfield and defence throughout the season and maybe rotate in that front line a little bit more because we've got the players to do it. And if you're going to rotate your forward line as opposed to your defence because you need that. You need those relationships at the back four, don't you, to work and in midfield as well. So maybe that's how it might go. And I don't mind that, actually. I wouldn't mind that at all. I think that'd be quite exciting as the season goes on. Greg says, I think you should start. Assuming you mean Stina and Russo together again on Sunday. They look good. I just didn't think he got the best out of Leslie, did it? Because that playing out on that wide right position didn't really suit her that much. She was much more dangerous when she moved into the middle, but Stina was brilliant when she was on as well. So it's a tough one, isn't it? We've got Mintsock there says Lacasse and Russo will be great together. I'm sure Lacasse will be great with anybody because she's a fantastic player, isn't she? And what a great goal she scored. So let's hope we see a lot more of her this season. I'm sure we will. Terry says, I hope Steiner and Russo play together a lot more, but both need to play more central. Yeah, they do, but he's not going to play two central strikers because he's never really done that before. It's going to be one of them slightly wide and one of them through the middle. I mean, they can sort of rotate slightly. I suppose Steiner can be dangerous from the wide position as well because, you know, she's got a lot of assists in her game. So, I don't know. We'll see how that works out. But let Jonas figure it out. We don't need to figure it out. We just need to enjoy it when it's there and take it for what it is rather than getting... We're not going to pick the team, are we? Jonas has got to figure it out what his best way to start a game and what his best way to finish a game is. And he needs to work it out quickly because, you know, we're already two games in and we've already dropped a lot of points. So he's got to start figuring it out quite quickly, hasn't he? I'm sure he will. Wayne says... yeah, I have a newfound respect for Steiner. She really came alive back in the last season. She certainly did. I hope she can still play a big part this season, a bit like the men.
Oh, I don't know about Ivan. I don't know about Ivan, but let's see. I don't know about 80 billion. Let's see.
We've got Steiner and we've got Lessie, and we need to find a way to get the best out of both of them because they're both fantastic players. They'll both score a load of goals. And I say that Jonas' his job. That's what he gets paid for. So, you know, we can discuss it. We can have our options. We can say who we would play. We haven't got that pressure to pick the team, and it's got to work on the day. We don't have to live with a result of that, do we? We can say what we want. We can give our opinion on it. And I would like to see Steiner and Lessie playing a lot of minutes because they're both fantastic players. But Jonas won't be able to play them both all the time together, will he? Because he's going to have to rotate. Terry says, I don't think we can afford to leave Chloe out at the moment. So absolutely. It's going to be difficult to leave her out, isn't it? Because she offers such a threat, both in terms of creating chances and, as we saw, scoring goals like that. I mean, what a fantastic strike. Top corner. Brilliant. I mean, that's what you want to see, isn't it? Hadders in the chat here says, hi, I'd love to see Steiner, Lacaz, Pavlova, Kim, Mikuni, Cross, Noel, McCabe to start. Well, I mean, you've nearly picked the team there, haven't you? It's not a bad team, is it? I suppose.
That's the thing.
Team it's trying to fit them all in, isn't it? The problem is trying to fit everybody into the team. That, you know, we've got so many players that we love to see, but they can't all play because there's only 11 spaces, and you've got to look at the positions that they play in. So, you know, Katie McCabe is an interesting one because I agree with what you said, Amar. Steph Catley is fantastic, so consistent at left back. She's one of the most consistent left backs in the world. And so Katie McCabe, would you start ahead of Steph Catley who's fit? No. Yeah. Where does Katie McCabe then fit into the team? Unless you play that left-sided front position ahead of Katie and Ford, I'm not sure. That's a tough one, isn't it? This you play in midfield position in place of who? You know, I don't know. It's a tough one. And, you know, she needs to be playing because she's a fantastic player. But where does she fit into the team now with the players that we've got around her? I don't know. It's something that Jonas, again, it's another problem he's got to sort out. Good problem. You've got a lot of good players. He's got to make this work now, hasn't he? He's got to find a way to make it work. And I'm sure he will because I've got faith that he will, but it just might take a couple of more games to really get everybody fitted in as he wants to. Obviously, Andreas was at the game. No, he wasn't at the game, was he? He was at the game the week before. But Andreas has given his thoughts on the game, which I'll just play for you now.
Man United away. We ended with a draw, 2-2. If you asked me before, my prediction was 2-2. I said it in the show, I think. So, yeah, nobody would have needed to watch the match. I said it before how it will end. All in all, I think it's a point, and the girls showed a real good reaction to the Liverpool match. And also, I have to say that Jonas reacted. He made 6 changes, and I have to say that it was a really brave lineup. 2 new center backs with Amanda and Laia, and he brought 2 number nines with Stina and Lessie. And I would say it was a what if match. What if Sabrina wouldn't hit near the ball in this situation that led to the 1-1 equalizer? What if Amanda would have cleared the ball before the second United goal, kicked the ball into the stands? What if United had not one of the best goalkeepers in the world in goal? What if Mary Earps wouldn't have saved the ball with a fantastic reaction against Lessie? What if Frida's goal would have counted and she was not a few centimeters offside? And last not least, what if Lessie's brilliant shot would have gone 5 centimeters left of the post and into the back of the net. Yeah. Then the better team would have won on Friday. But unfortunately, we were 2-1 behind, and in the end, we had to be happy and we were lucky to score the equalizer with this rocket in the 94th minute. I think our defense was still a bit rusty, and the partnership between Amanda and Leia needs to develop. Anyway, I see Leia as our center back number one as long as Leah is out. For me, the question is, who is going to play with Leia? Will it be Amanda or Lotta? Which is the better solution? It's hard to say. I think what we saw from Amanda was not the same what she showed at the World Cup for Sweden. In the World Cup in Australia, she was brilliant, and we had the highest expectations. But what I saw on Friday reminded me of the Amanda I remember from her time at Bayern Munich. She's good, but she's not on Leah level or on Hafa level. Yeah, you all know I really love Lotta as a player, as a human, but her mistakes cost us points in some matches. So yeah, I would try Leah and Amanda and give them the chance to develop a partnership. And I don't want to play a back three any longer. Sorry, Jen. Giambiti had two really good matches, start of the season. We know how good she was in last season, end of last season. But I don't want to play with a back three. And I think a back three is the only formation which fits for Jen. One more word to Alessia Russo. I think Leslie had a fantastic second half. She was able to ignore all this stupid boos from the United fans, so-called fans. And the longer the match was, I think the better Leslie was in the match. And she had this header. She had this brilliant shot at the post. And she would really deserved a goal, but I think she's going in the team, and Jonas trusts her, and he gives her the responsibility as the leading attacker. I think we will see very, very good matches from Alessia. I think she was one of the best players on Friday, especially in the second half. She was our best player. Yeah, and then the subs Jonas made. Of course, Chloe made a big impact, not only with her goal, but this goal, it was just fantastic. In stoppage time, to have the courage and the technique, the brilliant footwork that opened the space for her, and then this fantastic shoot and this rocket goal. Yeah, great, and I think it's. It will be a massive boost for her self-confidence. So I hope that she will get more chances to play in the attacking line for us.
Yes, I mean, you know, a lot of points that we kind of mentioned as well. I mean, the booing actually is quite interesting because in the men's game, that is quite common, isn't it? You know, when a player leaves a club and goes back to play against them for their new club, that's the sort of reception that they get. And it isn't something that's been particularly common in women's game, has it ever, really? That doesn't tend to happen. And it was quite unusual to hear it, and it was quite a strange thing, really. But I suppose as women's football grows and the audience grows and you get more people coming to watch, different people that's maybe come across from the men's game into the women's game to watch, I think some of these things are going to come across with it, aren't they? And I don't think there's an awful lot we can do. I mean, it's not the end of the world, is it? It's not nice to hear, but a lot of it's done probably as banter as opposed to anything nasty. I think Man United fans appreciate what Leslie did for their club, but they're a bit upset that she's left and now plays for us. And you can understand, we'd feel the same, wouldn't we? if Leah Williamson went and played for Chelsea, you imagine what reception she'd get. It's that kind of thing, isn't it? A player that, you know, that you've grown up watching, and suddenly they're playing against you for one of your rivals. It's a tough one, isn't it? But I don't know. I don't think we can stop it. And if we try and stop it, it might be getting rid of the new fans that's coming in to watch the women's game. It's a bit of a kind of catch 22, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I don't know why you asked me. I just personally think people who boo, I just, you know what they are. Okay, they have their sentiment, their feelings, fine, but just keep it to a minimum. You know, I don't like to hear that. Cool. I've heard it a lot of the time, whether it be a cricket or football or whatever. I just think they're just there to make themselves known. And I understand it to a degree, but after a while, it just gets a bit boring and the same sound all over again. And okay, yeah, Manchester, she did a lot. Manchester United should be very grateful for what she did. You know, she actually good. She got them. Well, I know they only formed about 5 years ago, but she was arguably one of the key factors where they rose from the ashes. Okay, they weren't in danger. I wouldn't say they were in danger of maybe suffering the same fate as like a Notts County or the unfortunate fate as like a Notts County in the past. But I think where she got them to where they are today, she got them into the Champions League and she made them into the title challenges they were. So to have a lot to be thankful for. Okay. She wanted, and she probably didn't want to leave, but then maybe she wanted to seek better challenges, more competition for places and play with better players in a way. That's not to say Manchester United didn't have better players, but ultimately it was her decision, and we came up with a fantastic offer. And if she refused it, maybe a few eyebrows would have been raised. So, okay, I understand that it wasn't, maybe you feel the way you are, but I mean, after a while it just gets boring and that makes you think, why? What is there to be gained from booing somebody who's done so much for your club and that you should be grateful for? So I mean, it's up to them. But personally, I just think, as Andrea said there, that they're just personally, I just think they're a bit stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it is something that happens in football, isn't it? You know, I say we're used to it from the men's game. It happens all the time, doesn't it? And it's something that is unusual for the women's game at this time. But I say, as we attract new fans, you're probably going to find a lot of these little things creep in a bit more because that's what's going to happen. The more people that watch it, the more people have come across from the men's game, and that's unfortunately what is going to happen. Rick says there, it's great now. Whoever comes off the bench is going to keep the team as strong as it starts. Exactly, yeah. That was one thing last season. We all said, didn't we? All the injuries that we had, the bench was bare, wasn't it? Towards the end of the season, we had a lot of kids on the bench, and we didn't really have too many players that could. You look at the Wolfsburg game. We didn't really have anyone on the bench who could impact that game when we needed it. This season, we've got an overabundance. Look at when I saw our bench on Friday, I'm like, wow, this bench would start pretty much every team in the WSL apart from maybe Chelsea and Man City, maybe in terms of the depth of the squad. So that's how strong we are. That our reserves, if you like, on the bench are as strong as anybody else. Hada says, I think we need to rest Leo Marti to play Cooney Cross, and Paloma. In the middle. I mean, that's an interesting. I think that will happen throughout the season. I think Leah Walty will get rotated with Kyra Cooney Cross. Obviously, Kim Little's going to play because she's the captain and she's brilliant. But yeah, I can see that happening at some stages during the season. Maybe not all the time, but I can see that happening definitely. Terry says, "How dare you, Andrea? Super general." I think Andrea has got a fair point, actually. You know, as much as we love Jen, and you know, she's been brilliant actually for the last couple of years. We wasn't expecting her to play much, but I do feel that now with the players that we've got, and I don't think the back three probably doesn't really suit us at this moment in time. So you wouldn't play Jen ahead of Amanda or ahead of Leia or ahead of Lotta. I think that she's there as a backup, isn't she? And that's what she expects to be. So I don't think she'll be too upset. And she'll come off the bench, go up front and score a header with 5 minutes to go in some games, I'm sure, just to keep you happy. And Hannah said, Russo, she's not good to start. Well, I mean,
really?
I thought she played well. The position she started didn't really work too well, but she was certainly brilliant later on, wasn't she? But maybe that's the future. Maybe she'll be coming on, playing through the middle in place of Stina later on in the game. Terry says, Man U fans booing have taken the Chelsea mentality. Yeah, well, probably. But that's how it goes, isn't it? Miss Pinksock said, Arsenal would never boo Jordan. No,
of course not. We wouldn't.
But then you've got to look at the difference in the circumstances, haven't you? Jordan was towards the end of her career. She wasn't getting picked for Arsenal. It was the best move for her. Everybody's happy for her. I'm over the moon that she got picked for the World Cup squad, that she was playing regular football again. She was never going to get into our team regularly, was she? We could clearly see that. That was before we had all the injuries, obviously. If she had stayed, she would have played more with the injuries that we had. But at the time, it made sense for her to go. So I think we were all happy for her to go. And, you know, it was great that she's gone off playing well, got picked for the England World Cup squad, all that kind of stuff. Whereas with Russo, she was playing that Man United team every week. She was one of their top players. She'd been with them for so long. And I don't know. I think the circumstances are different, but you're right. We wouldn't boo Jordan. But, you know, I say if Leah Williamson went to play for Chelsea, I'm not sure we'd be too happy about that, would we? When she played against us for Chelsea. So, you know, I don't know. You've got to look at the circumstances. Not all players will, you know, players have left Man United and played against them and haven't been booed before. I think the circumstances are different in this particular case. I'm not excusing it because they shouldn't do it. And it is, as you rightly said, Mike, it's pointless. What good is it going to do? Nothing at all. All it did was inspire her to play better, actually, didn't it? Because she got better and better as the game went on. So it didn't affect her game. So,
If she had scored against them, I would have loved to just see her celebrate. Go and celebrate in front of those two boys and show them what you're made of. Exactly. You know?
Well, we wanted her to score, didn't we? On that basis, really.
We wanted her to score. She had everything but score, but she showed that was a fantastic... That's the reason why we signed her. That's why she is a world-class striker. I think it's a matter of time before she finally gets her first goal. Hopefully, she'll get on Sunday. But just one thing I thought I'd just pick up on with Andreas. He made some good points there. But I think Lyra, it was her first game. I don't know whether she was in playing as a... No, they played Maritza right back in Lyra centre, didn't they, in a way? Was that how it was, or did Lyra play it right? I can't actually remember now. Was she right or was she centre?
Well, no, we had three at the back, didn't we? We had three centre-backs, and then Noah and Steph were sort of pushed on as wing-backs at the beginning. We changed it later on, but that's how we started the game.
Lyra had a tough time against Jay-Z, I thought, especially, but it was the first time, it was difficult, but, you know, she'll adapt, and hopefully she'll... I don't know whether I see a centre, but I think I just think when Leah and Jen, I know Leah and Rafa are best and they had so many injuries, we were unlucky with them, but you think actually Leah and Jen, they complement each other really well. And I think when they come back, maybe they could be our first choice centre-back pairing. Lotta, as he said, was right. She's a good player, but she has cost us big points in the past. Amanda's got to learn from it as well. But you've got to remember the new signings, Owen, he'll try their best to integrate them within the squad and try to get the best out of them. So, but it's as likely with the forward situation as well as the midfield. Who's he going to pick? It's going to be an interesting dilemma for him to have in the midfield as well. Look, he dropped Freedom on them. Normally, you would think he complements Kim and Leah very well. But so, I mean, they're having Kyra Cooney Cross in that as well, and Katie McCabe. Where do you play all these really good players? It's so difficult as a manager to get that balance right. So it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. But hopefully these new players will learn and adapt to the style, and eventually they'll maybe nail down their starting berths in the end. Who knows? But it'll be fascinating to see going forward.
Yeah, and the rotation as well is going to be good, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Going to sound mad, but I like the booing. He says not necessarily our players, but I like the edge with rivals now. Sometimes I find the friendliness in the women's game is too much. Let's shut them up in the second leg. I mean, I do kind of get where you're coming from, Wayne, I do. And the watching men's football is very, there's always been quite tribal, hasn't it? You know, the rivalries and all that kind of stuff. It's always added to the atmosphere. I agree with that. But and women's football has never been really like that, has it? You know, there's no segregation of fans. Everybody mingles and gets on. And that's always how it's been. And the fact that they're so different is kind of what's great about it. But I don't mind a little bit of edge. I think that's kind of quite good, personally. You don't want to see booing particularly because it's not nice, is it? But I do like a little bit of edge. I agree with that, definitely. You know, a little bit of edge between teams.
Yeah,
I think
it's
a bit of edge, isn't there? It's that rivalry with Chelsea, isn't it? You don't have to boo their players, but there's an edge. And if that was recreated a lot more through the WSL, I think it would make the games a little bit more intense and a bit more... I don't know. I think it would improve the atmosphere maybe in the grounds a little bit personally.
Without the booing.
Absolutely. Terry says, plus Russo's family from eight, so I'm lost wider better. We've always known it anyway. Now, I know it didn't really affect Arsenal too much, but on Sunday there was a game between, well, it did kind of affect us a little bit. Man City against Chelsea game, of course. Two of the big teams, and there was some rather strange goings on by the referee.
Shocking.
Obviously, the big talking point was that second yellow card, the red card for Alex Greenwood for taking a few seconds longer to take a free kick than maybe was appropriate. I don't really know. I mean, that was one of many, many strange decisions. I got the feeling that that referee was going to play that game until Chelsea scored, one way or the other. And when they scored the first goal, I thought she's going to carry on playing until they get a second goal. She basically did everything apart from actually score a goal for them. I mean, it was ridiculous referee. I've never seen anything like it, actually, ever. It was crazy. I mean, what was she on? That's the same referee the week before. Didn't book any of the Liverpool players for time-wasting, and they time-wasted 45 minutes in that game. And then there she was, getting yellow cards out right, left and centre. Everybody who played for Manchester City, of course, not Chelsea. Can't upset Emma Hayes too much. You know, you're not allowed to. So, I mean, what did you make of all that, Emma? Because that was just... I mean, that sending off of Alex Greenwood was probably the worst refereeing decision I think I've ever seen ever in football. Probably since that Van Persie won it against Barcelona in the Champions League.
Oh, God, there's been some really poor ones on here. Yeah, he just kicked the ball away and he didn't hit the ref. And, oh, that was that was bad because we were in the game until then. We actually gave Barcelona a good run for that money. But that's not the thing to remember about that. But, yeah, no, I don't know. I actually forgot that she was a ref. I wasn't really paying that much attention as well because I was at work and I wasn't really following the game. But, yeah, and I heard a lot of people on the Facebook forums that I'm a part of, and they said, yeah, they didn't get booked for time wasting. I don't know whether they were given the directive within 1 week, but whatever it was, I mean, it's ridiculous that she was just taking a free kick. I don't know. The first one was a yellow card, though. I can't remember what she got the first yellow card for. I think it was merited. But the second one, she's just trying to pick her options. It's her options. And then I don't know. It's on a 100th appearance for a club as well. She's just like, ruined it for her in a way. And not to take away from Alex Greenwood, it was a wonderful play. You saw how good she was for England during the World Cup. But I mean, since what have they been told? Where's this new director come from? I mean, it reminded me a little bit when, Tomiyasu was sent off, you remember, against Crystal Palace for taking too long of a throw. I don't know whether it doesn't seem to be any consistency in that week in, week out, because you see people trying to play that sort of game all the time, trying to, whether they take it to the corner or whatever. But I couldn't understand it myself. He was just intent on she was intent, it seemed, on just trying to make the game as interesting as possible. And yeah, as you say, with the added time, I went to 8 minutes and he went 102 minutes. Sam Kerr, the first, I thought actually Chelsea was going to win that. Yeah, that had been, if they'd won that, that would have been a complete smash and grab of one Chelsea's part. Man City were fantastic for most of that game. And even with 10 plays, even with 9, Chelsea looked toothless going forward. The only way that they were going to score was to get a scrappy equaliser with all that added time. And then eventually they managed it. And who knows, they could have won it. But I felt Gareth Taylor actually did a good job. Anyway, going back to the referee, I don't know. Just booking. I don't know, just to see even Lauren M. So at the end, that was genuine, but maybe should have whipped her off before that, the manager. But honestly, I couldn't. When I saw how many yellow cards and reds were handed down that game, I thought, she lost control here. Is this actually a proper qualified referee? Okay, you're going to stand her down for one game. But I mean, it's a tough enough job as we know, anything in sport, officiating. It's a brutal job to have. And often you get decisions wrong. But when you get a decision wrong, as much as she has with the time wasting now in the game against Liverpool, and then on last Sunday at the Academy Stadium, I mean, what do you do? Can you stand them down? Like we saw with the shocking error that the VAR made between Spurs and Liverpool, you stand them down. But then will they learn the lessons and not make those errors again? I know it's a tough enough job, but you have to educate them better. And so they don't make those errors and they don't ruin games, because look how far the women's game has come since the World Cup and the Euros last summer. And it makes for a spectacle that not everyone is comfortable with. And then people will start, as we saw with Ian and Beth, Ian Wright and Beth, of course, that people will be criticising the officials on Twitter. We don't want to see that in a way. Okay, people are entitled to their opinions, but I just think if you stand them down, then you need to educate them better and make sure they learn from those mistakes. But sadly, sometimes they don't.
No, exactly. I mean, just stopping a referee for one game isn't going to change anything, is it? No, let's be honest.
It's an absolute waste of time.
I mean, what we've seen is, obviously, in the men's game, we've seen the standard of refereeing drop dramatically in recent years. It's got worse. Since they went full-time, it's got worse. Since they brought VAR in, it's got worse.
Massively worse.
Yeah, it has. And now in the women's game, what's happened is, I'm not necessarily saying the referees have got worse. What's happened is the quality of the football and the players have got better, and the referees haven't improved at the same level. So you've still got referees who probably would be okay on a Sunday morning game refereeing kids, but they're nowhere near now to the top level of women's football. They're just not up to it. They're not, most of them aren't up to it. We could clearly see on Sunday, you know, the same ref that we had the week before, who wasn't fantastic in that game either for different reasons. But she, I mean, that was just, it was almost like she just, she'd been told by the people that, you know, bring in these new rules of the game. You've got to clamp down on time wasting. So she just went out, literally, that's all she did. She didn't think about, there was tackles flying in, no yellow cards. No yellow cards, especially if it was a Chelsea player committing it, no yellow cards.
Lauren Hunt was a bit, sorry, go on.
And it's a yellow card and a red card. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And what needs to happen is, you're right, referees need more education. Are they good enough in the first place? Are they actually good enough? I'm not sure if they are. With the standard of the women's game now, are these referees up to the job? I'm not sure if they are. What do you do? You need referees. Do we get referees from the Premier League to come in and do it? Because although they're terrible, they are better than the referees in the WFL. They're full-time and they are better referees, even if they're not great. Absolutely. Is that something we need to look at? I don't know. Something needs to change because the refereeing is terrible and it's not helping the promotion of the great game, is it? That's what it's about, really.
They're talking about bringing VAR onto the women's game, and I was like, oh, please don't. You know, we're just going to see games which go on 100 minutes, and you're going to see referees trying to play to. No, please don't bring him, even if it's in a small form. I know Howard Webb spoke this week. I didn't hear the whole conversation, and his wife, who is a former referee as well, they talked about it in the past. But I just think it would ruin the women's game. We saw what it's said. It's been detrimental to the men's game. We've seen it. And people asking for rematches. We don't want that to be happening. It ruins the spirit of the game. And then it begins into question the integrity of the game as well. So, I mean, I know they're talking about it, but I just think they need to be trained, but they need to be educated better. And, okay, they get some decisions wrong, but don't just go, don't be trigger happy like this referee was, and just keep and don't learn from it and make the same mistakes. As I said, it's a tough enough job, but you have to learn from your mistakes. Otherwise, what's the point? You know, if you're not going to learn, why go and find another job somewhere else, for example?
I totally agree with you. And, you know, the thing is, right, they're using VAR, some of the women's players are saying it, the managers are saying it, we need VAR. Haven't you been watching the Premier League? Haven't you been watching what an absolute mess they've made of it? Why on earth would you want that in a women's game? Inequality, get rid of VAR from the men's game, get rid of it. And then we don't need it in the women's game. That's what they've got to look at. Don't bring it into women's football. No. Do not do that. That would be the work. That would be a massive step backwards, as it's been in the men's game. It needs spinning off, quite honestly. But it's a difficult one because the referees on the pitch aren't up to making the decisions. Clearly, in the WSL, they're not. Not just this one referee. We're picking on her because she had a nightmare of a game on Sunday. She made some crazy decisions. But most of the referees in WSL aren't very good. It's a fact. You know, there's male referees in there. There's women referees in there. None of them are really that good. And when you get a half decent one, they're all right. But most of them just aren't very good. And something needs to happen. You can't have referees this bad taking charge of these games now, which are so good and so important and so much resting on them now. Women's football is so much better than it used to be, but the refereeing isn't. And it's got to change, it has to. Gunnar Dan says, going back to the booing, I booed the hell out of Robin Van Persie when he went. Well, yeah, exactly. But that happened, you know, that it still does. And that's kind of almost, I'm not saying it's right, but it's almost part of men's football, isn't it? So no one really gets upset about it. They feel, oh, well, you know, boo your ex-player. Fine. You know, Sami Nasri, he got booed, didn't he? There's lots of
people. Emmanuel Adebayor.
The full length of the pitch to celebrate a goal against us. You know what I mean? I think he got booed, didn't he, that day? So, you know, it happens.
Well, he had stuff thrown at him. He was pelted. He had stuff thrown at him, yeah.
He did have stuff thrown. He deserved it, really, didn't he? If you're going to do that, you deserve to get stuff thrown in this book. But yeah.
And then he asked for forgiveness. And how do you expect to have forgiveness after that?
Yeah, well, we don't forgive you, mate, actually. We don't. Terry says, to be fair, I agree with Wayne. I can't wait for the fighting on the Terry's in to start. Obviously, that's a joke. But no, I mean, it's a fine line, isn't it? You do want a little bit of rivalry. You want a little bit of banter on the Terry's. You do, because that's kind of, it adds to the atmosphere. But yeah, it needs to be it still needs to be right, doesn't it? And it still needs to be a family event, because that's what women's football is. It is a family event, and we can't lose that no matter what happens. It's so important, isn't it? We've got a comment there saying, why are people crying about booing? This is the equality we wanted. It isn't the child's place. Well, you're right to a certain degree, and I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. And I suppose it is equality in a way, but women's football and men's football are different. It's a different crowd. It's a different atmosphere. It's a different environment, and it needs to be different, and that's fine. Some things can come across, and that's fine as well. It's a fine line, isn't it? It is a fine line. It's a difficult one because I don't mind a bit of banter and a bit of rivalry, but you need to remember that this is not men's football, and it needs to be done in a different way. Maybe I don't know how we can do it really, but anyway. Yeah. Terry says, to be honest, even the Lions woman looked embarrassed walking off the pitch with the ref. Yeah, I mean, obviously going back to the referee. Yeah, you're absolutely right. They did. They looked at it as if to say, Jesus Christ, what are you doing? Even they didn't understand it. And that ref was in a bad mood. Yeah, I think she was in a bad mood. Well, she's in a bad mood with Man City. Yeah, an understatement. Greg says, that ref should never be allowed on a pitch again. A Chelsea supporter shouldn't referee a Chelsea match. I'm not sure if she's actually a Chelsea supporter. She certainly looked as though she was, didn't she? She gave every decision in their favour. Gunner says, I put it on screen. Her attitude as well, the ref shouting no when players approached her after the sending off. She wasn't hearing any of it. No, you're right, she wasn't. That wasn't an error. That ref did it deliberately and out of spite. Well, I can understand why you think that, and I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. We don't know, do we, the reasons why she did it. But yeah, it's ridiculous, really. And no wonder British refs aren't called up for world tournaments. You are absolutely right. I agree with you. It is a big problem. It's a problem in the men's game, it's a problem in the women's game. It's a problem that we need to look at in English football. We need to improve it. It's the biggest problem at the moment, I think, in British football is the referees, definitely. They're spoiling every single week, every single game. It's ridiculous. And something needs to be done. What that answer is, I don't know. But the people that run football need to come up with the answer. They need to come out of it quickly.
No question.
Because it's getting ridiculous. Really is getting ridiculous. Gunnar Dan says, if you haven't seen it yet, BBC football, Jonas shows Alex Scott around the Arsenal women's new training
ground. Okay.
We were watching that then, definitely.
Oh, my. I don't know if I'll be RC.
That does look good, doesn't it? We'll have to watch that. Wayne says, VAR is like Mustafi. When it's good, it's quite good.
Don't compare to Mustafi, buddy.
That's a good way of describing VAR, actually. Mustafi, yeah, I quite like that. He had some good moments, didn't he? But yeah, he did have some awful, horrible moments as well.
You could also say the likes of Andre Santos, for Philip Senderos, who else? Well, actually, we've had some terrible defenders.
We have had some terrible defenders, yeah. I think Mustafi had some good moments, actually, didn't he? But yeah, he did also have some absolute...
Koscielny turned out to be a bit of a liability as well, but anyway.
Koscielny was all right. Murtasaka was all right, but... Andreas has given us his thoughts on the refereeing madness in the City-Chelsea games. Let's hear what Andreas made of it.
Yeah, I think it was a ridiculous red card for Alex Greenwood. It was 26 seconds... she needed for this free kick, and I saw the match on TV, and I haven't realized that there was any warning from the referee. Play, come on, play, effect the free kick. And if there was no warning, then giving a yellow card, the second yellow card, and the referee can't say she didn't realize that Alex Greenwood was already booked, because Alex Greenwood, she's a lioness, she was the captain of City, and of course the referee knew that she had booked her before, and I don't think that this could be a straight second yellow. And what my thought was, if time wasting causes yellow cards, then Liverpool would have finished with maximum 8 players against us last week. That time wasting, especially from the goalkeeper, was extreme. And why didn't they get yellow cards? But anyway, I think the result was good for us. We saw Chelsea is vulnerable this year. And no team is running away with 6 points. Except Leicester and Liverpool, but this shouldn't be a problem. I think we will catch Leicester and Liverpool on the long run. But Yeah, of course you can say Chelsea, City will lose more points than Chelsea throughout the season. But at the moment, it's also a mental thing that no team has 6 points and we are not 5 points behind Chelsea or 5 points behind City. So for me, the draw was okay.
Yeah, no, I think the draw was okay. I would have preferred Man City to win, given the choice. As Andrea said, I think Man City will drop more points. But the funny thing was, we were watching the game, me and Paul are here, and when Chelsea scored, the first thing Paul said was, "They're so lucky, Chelsea, aren't they?" And that's true, isn't it? They always seem to be lucky, don't they? They get the late goals or they get some things go in their favour. It does seem to happen too much, doesn't it? And so, but yeah, that kind of sums up really, anyway. Terry says, yeah, women's football needs to stay a family event and progress slowly. But as always, money ruins everything in sport. It does, absolutely. And money does ruin everything in sport, and it will continue to do so. A comment there saying, a family event, really. Well, it is a family event, isn't it? Going to women's football is, you know, if you've ever been to a women's game, certainly in the UK, it's, you know, it's families, isn't it? It's kids with their mum and dad. And that's the audience. A majority of it, not all of it, obviously, but a majority of it is. And we don't want people to feel that they can't take their kids to women's football because of the atmosphere or because of the stuff that's going on. We need to make sure that doesn't happen because they're the future, aren't they, the kid? I don't know. It's a tough one, isn't it? Because we need a little bit of edge and a little bit of rivalry. But, yeah, we just need to make sure we don't lose the whole atmosphere of it. But anyway, with the referee situation, you know, she's not going to be refereeing anybody this weekend. I hope she goes away and gets some education, yeah, and maybe has to retrain in these things. And maybe the FA, who make the rules up, shouldn't every season, at the start of every season, that they put focus on certain things, don't they? And at the start of the season, you get a load of red cards for one certain thing, and then as the season progresses, it stops happening. Almost a total waste of time. You're not clamping down on it. You clamp down on it for 3 weeks, and then you don't bother afterwards. This is what happens all the time. So I think the FA are fundamentally to blame, and the referees maybe are in the firing line because they're trying to do what they're told, clamp down on time wasting. They clamp down on time wasting. Everyone says, "What are you doing? Why are you sending her off?" Well, she's sending her off because the FA have told her to clamp down on it. She needed to use common sense, obviously. Clearly, she didn't have any common sense at all. No, she ref that. Okay. But that's what was needed, wasn't it? It's done now, and hopefully. The refereeing will get better, but I'm not going to hold my breath on that one at all. Now, obviously, we've looked at last week's game. We've looked at some of the crazy refereeing decisions. And, of course, this weekend, it is a massive game coming up at the Emirates. Now, we spoke on the show a couple of weeks ago, before the season started, saying... All of us were saying Villa's a team that could be threatening to break into the top three this season. They've made some great signings. They finished last season well. And then, lo and behold, two games in, they've got 0 points. And suddenly they are in desperate need of a result against us, in the same way that we're in a desperate need for a win, having not won yet. So it's kind of a really important game, isn't it, now, for both teams? And not what we would have been expecting at this point. Coming into this game, you'd maybe thinking we'd have maybe 4 or 6 points, Villa would have maybe 4 points, and it would be a really big game at the top of the table. Now it's almost like a big game at the bottom of the table. When you look at the table now, Villa are rock bottom, aren't they? So, I mean, are you surprised at how Villa have started? I know they've got a lot of new players that maybe are going to take time to settle in, but no points out of six is a really, really poor start, isn't it?
It was unexpected, and yeah, it was a tough start when they had Manchester United in the first game, and yeah, they were a bit unlucky in that game as well. I thought, again, we don't want to talk about referees, but they possibly could have had a penalty for a foul on Rachel Daly, Ebony Salmon, or they should have had a free kick at least for that. And they get Kirsty Hansen sent off, okay, that's a legitimate challenge, but again, there's no consistency there. I think they're a bit unlucky with the late goals there. Again, last week I expected them to at least test Liverpool, and a Liverpool improved side, you don't know what to expect, as I said, from a Matt Beard side a few weeks back. But, apart from that effort from Jordan Nobbs, which was brilliantly cleared off the line, one of the best pieces of defending so far this season, probably ever, Emma Koivisto cleared that from under a goal line, cleared that. They didn't really create that much going forward. It was a surprise. They didn't, I don't know, you see, when I know, I wouldn't say they're too reliant on Rachel Daly and Alicia Lehmann got from, but I don't know, they seem to be, how would you say, not misfiring, but going, yeah, they look at... They're not. They wouldn't say maybe they're not the usual selves, but Carlo Wood is a great manager, and make no mistake, she knows how to get the best out of players. I'm not going to question her there. But I just don't know. I just they looked a little bit bereft of ideas. Maybe the, I could say they maybe perhaps a little reliant on those two. But when you see, I know I don't want to go on too much about our defending, but when they would have probably watched maybe of the way we played against Paris and against Man United and think, oh, we got a chance here, but we must be but at the same time, you're only sort of seeing what happened against against Liverpool, the way they played against Liverpool and Manchester United, and see where we can attack them. So, I mean, it has the makings of a really close game, and it's a surprise that both teams are struggling. So, there's going to be a lot of pressure. I mean, you don't want to be losing that game, and especially in our case, I mean, as we said, we're in such a small league, in such a short league with only 22 games, you cannot afford to drop any points. So, the pressure on both sides is going to be huge. And, one side really needs the, I don't know, I think we need the win more, but then if Aston Villa, okay, it's, yeah, as I said, they had Manchester United and who did they have last week? Just Liverpool, which they were expected to get something out of, and then Arsenal. Okay, it's a tough start, but then then they'll begin to have to rethink their expectations for this season. So, I mean, it's a massive game on both fronts, and yeah, well, who knows what might happen. It could be one of those nervy games we kind of come to expect, but we'll have to wait and see. But it's surprising to see both teams struggling so early on in the season.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the start I think either of us would have been anticipating, I guess. But we both played the same two teams, Manchester United and Liverpool. So it's kind of strange how it's kind of worked. And now we're playing each other. But you're right, it's almost like a must-win game for both clubs, isn't it? And obviously, both clubs can't both win. So something's going to have to... One or other club is going to be under a lot of pressure after this weekend. Whoever loses, assuming it's not a draw, but if whoever loses this game, they're under real pressure, aren't they? If Aston Villa were to win... then that real puts pressure on us, doesn't it? And on Yone, that's massive. And obviously, if Villa lose 3 out of 3, be stuck at the bottom of the league, then that would put real pressure on them as well. So it's such an important game, this. It really is. It's, you know, it's even more important than last week's game against Manchester United, and that was important enough. This one is even more, it's very early in the season to call it like the most important game, but it's certainly, we won't have many games as big as this in the season, I don't think. Because if we don't win, we are under real pressure.
Massive.
Yeah. And it's so, so important. We've got a comment that says, can you keep Daly quiet? Well, that's the key, isn't it? If we keep Daly quiet, last season, you know, she scored it. They beat us, didn't they, at Meadow Park last game of the season. She scored. Can we keep her quiet? We can. Will we keep her quiet is another matter. We're going to have to be on our game offensively because she's a threat, especially in the air, crosses into the box. She's very dangerous, isn't she? So we'll see. But would you start Jem Beattie? Well, we know Andrew's answer because he's already told us he wouldn't start Jem Beattie. We know Terry probably would. Would you start Jem Beattie, Emma, or not for this one?
I don't know. You see, I think she's such an experienced centre back. To what she's been through, it's been tough. And she brings a bit of solidity to us. I know she's prone to the odd error, but she does bring goal and aerial threat from set pieces as well. It's a tough one, but I don't know. You see, I hope Amanda will get better, but I just think it's really difficult. But we don't really, it's really, really difficult. I know we made 6 changes, but I know it's, I think I would start her personally, to be fair, because she does bring a bit of solidity to the back line. Okay, maybe she's a bit, she has that experience and know what she's like, and she is reasonably quite solid. Okay, in the past, she's made mistakes, but she wouldn't make the kind of mistakes while saying like Amanda did and, Otto has done in the past. It's a difficult one. It's ultimately down to the manager, but she does definitely give that experience and that coolness and calmness under pressure, and brings the aerial threat as well. So it's a tough one, but I mean, argument for starting her for me.
Obviously, Rachel Daly is a threat in the air, isn't she? We know that. She's brilliant in the air, and obviously Jen's strength is defending crosses into the box. We know that's what her strength is. So it almost kind of playing Jem Beattie in this game in particular might not be a bad option, because that's her strength and Rachel Daly's strength. And I think that could be a good option for this game. I'm not sure I would start her, if I'm honest. I would like to see, and I do think, go back to what we mentioned before about partnerships in the team at the back in particular. What Andrea said as well, I think if we're going to, obviously we've got Leia and we've got Amanda now. We've just bought these two players, and I think we need them to play together. We need to work on that and get them used to playing together. There may be mistakes in the first couple of games. Yes, maybe there will be. But unless we play them together, it's never going to work because they're never going to get that experience of playing together. So I would maybe stick with it. I wouldn't go three at the back. I would go with a back four of Steph, Leia, Amanda, and probably Noel Moritz at right back because we don't really have anyone else. And I that's what I would go with. I would definitely go with that. And then, you know, the midfield pretty much takes care of itself. Leo Walty, Kim Little. I don't know, actually, who else would be in there? Would we put three in there or just have the two? And then maybe from you can have, obviously, Stina, you could have Lessie and Vicky Palova. She's been playing well.
Yeah.
Chloe, maybe. Go for an attacking team.
And that's tough.
Rachel Daly can't cause us any problems if the ball's at the other end of the pitch. So maybe,
you never know with our defence.
Their confidence is low. Let's attack them and let's get the ball at their end. And then Rachel Daly can't really hurt us at the other end, can she? Terry's quite confident as always. He said absolutely demolishing Villa the weekend.
6-1. I don't know. I'm not sure
it'll be 6-1, but who knows? It might do. Greg says there, when they talked to Carla Ward last week about facing us this week, she didn't sound that confident. No, I mean, understandably so, because they just lost to Liverpool and they've lost to Man United the week before. So she's not going to exactly be overconfident at that time. I think given a week in between, I think maybe they would have worked on things. They did beat us last season at Meadow Park. I know it was a bit of a dead rubber game in many ways and probably weren't that important to us. But I don't know. I'm sure her players won't have that attitude coming into the game at the Emirates that they're not confident. I'm sure that she will have them up for the game that they can win. We need to play well. Pink Sock says there, need Garley back. They do need Garley back. Yeah, she's a fantastic player. Absolutely right. Hannah says, Steph must start. I think Steph will definitely start. I don't know that about that. I would maybe start with Leia Cadena as well. That's what I would do. Terry says, remember, we haven't had a proper pre-season and this weekend it all comes together. Yeah, no, you're right. We haven't had a proper pre-season. And hopefully it will come together this weekend. The performance last week has given me confidence going into this game that, you know, at the Emirates with a decent crowd in, that we will obviously play a lot better than we did against Liverpool. And I think the way that Villa will play may help us a little bit. Liverpool were very defensive. They had no intention of coming out and opening up. I think Villa need a result. They can't just sit back. No. They're going to have to come out at some point and maybe that's going to help us and it might mean it plays into our hands a little bit. And we can maybe get the result, but it's definitely going to be a very, very difficult game and such an important game as well. So let's see what Andreas makes of this Aston Villa game. Obviously, he's going to be there on Sunday, so we're looking forward to seeing him at the ground. But this is what his thoughts on the game.
Next big match on Sunday at the Emirates, Arsenal versus Villa. I'll be there, of course. I have a season ticket, and I'll be at our home matches as often as possible. Today I read that 30,000 tickets are sold, so I hope we can go over 35 or close to 40,000 and hopefully about 35,000 will attend on Sunday. It's difficult, such a back-to-back match, but it's international break for the men, so hopefully people will go to the Emirates and support our girls. They deserve it and they deserve a great atmosphere and support in the big stadium. The match itself, it's a must win for both teams. We have 1 point after two matches. Villa started with 0 points after two matches. And of course they lost versus United. You can lose against United, but they lost at Liverpool. You shouldn't lose against Liverpool if you want to play for the Champions League spots. Okay, we did it too. So yes, it's a must win for both. And I think this is good for us because the pressure is also on Villa. Maybe more on Villa than on us. If Villa loses again, 3 matches, 0 points, their ambition was to compete for at least for the third place. So let's see. I hope that our girls have gained the self-confidence from the match at United. And for the lineup, I would prefer Saps in goal. Give her another chance. She made this terrible mistake, but After that, she was back in the match. She showed herself confidence. She cleared some difficult situations, high crosses, etc. I would trust her, and I would give the partnership layer Amanda another chance, a center back. And yeah, give Chloe a chance. She deserved it after this impact she had and after this goal. And yeah, for the match itself, my prediction, there's a lot of pressure on me now because I said the 2-2 draw before. I don't think we'll keep a clean sheet. We always concede goals. So the question is, will we concede one or two? I hope only one. And will we score? Yes, we will. We have Alessia, we have Stina, we have Chloe, yep. Caitlin, Vic, maybe Frida. Everybody is able to score, and we will at least score two goals. So my prediction is 2-1. It will be tough and it will be nervy at the end. I expect the last 10 minutes, 5 minutes with always looking on the watch. How long? But in the end, we will win 2-1. That's my prediction. And this would mean 3 points that we really, really need. And I would be very happy with a 2-1. Yeah, let's enjoy the match. And I will try to catch some atmosphere on Sunday again. And just record a few clips for the match day vlog. And the day before, on Saturday, I'm in London too, and I thought I will take the chance to see how West Ham United grabs 3 points, 3 away points at King's Meadow. Yeah? Wouldn't be nice. Or Chelsea, West Ham, 1-0 for West Ham? Would be great.
It's optimistic, King West Ham.
Wow. I mean, that would be great, wouldn't it? If West Ham had to beat Chelsea, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? I mean, to be fair, no one would have thought that Liverpool would have beaten us at the Emirates. So there's no reason to think that can't happen. And West Ham have got some good players, and they're a decent team. But yeah, I kind of agree. I would go with Sabrina in goal. I don't think Jonas will, though. I think he'll go with Manu Zinsberger in goal, personally. Mm-hmm. But there you go. We'll have to wait and see. The team lineup at the moment is very interesting, isn't it? Every game you're thinking, who's going to start? Who's starting up front? Who's in defence? Who's in goal? There's so many questions, isn't there?
Yeah, it is.
We don't know the answer to. And we'll find out on Sunday. But, I mean, a 2-1 win would be great. I mean, any win would be great. And, you know, if it happens to be 2-1 and Andreas gets to score right again, we'll have to get the lottery numbers off it for next week.
Yeah,
I think it will be a tight game. I think it's going to be nervy, and there is a lot of pressure on us. There's a lot of pressure on us at the Emirates again. You know, we haven't got a great record at the Emirates, have we? Let's be honest. We've lost quite a few games there in the last couple of seasons, and we need to put that Liverpool game behind us. Again, it's going to be a half decent crowd. We could be 40,000 by the time Sunday comes around, which would be great. And let's hope this time that we can go out and actually put in a performance to really keep the crowd, keep the crowd entertained. I'm sure we will win, but I think it is going to be tight. Andreas has gone 2-1. Terry's gone 6-1. He doesn't think it's going to be quite as tight.
Yeah.
What about you, Omar? What are you thinking for Sunday? What's your prediction?
I was thinking along similar lines. I don't know if you can trust our defence. Yeah, I thought Lyle was playing right back, so I go make a mistake. I keep thinking she was right back, but no, yeah. It depends to be seen when Lea comes back, who will play alongside her. But for Sunday, yeah, I mean, you have to probably just try to give Amanda and Lie more minutes, and I don't know. You see, it's extremely difficult with our defence. You know, it's just the way. Hope we can just step it up a bit. You know, so poor against PSG and vulnerable, avoidable goals we conceded, and Aston Villa will take heart from that. And I hope we can at least sort it out the back. But I agree, it's difficult to see us keeping a PG right now, especially until Leah gets back. But it would be nice to just see them complement each other and. Not giving that manager a headache to think about for now. But yeah, I think it's similar. We like our attack. They look vulnerable in the back. Okay, we can't be as poor as they were going forward against Liverpool. And like they were done, like I said, against Manchester United. But they will probably score one goal. I just think our attack, we look so good. And we'll be a bit more clinical than we were against Manchester United going forward. I think we can score a few goals. But yeah, I think I think around 2-1 is probably what I'd go for as well. Possibly 3 if our attack is firing and we can defend properly as well and not give them too much to not put too much pressure on the attackers to bail us out. But yeah, it's going to be a nervy one. But I can see us probably edging it and finally, fingers crossed, getting off the mark this season and winning. So yeah, I'll probably go along the same score. I'll probably go 2-1 Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, bearing in mind they've got obviously Daphne van Domslaar in goal, and she's very good. Yeah, and this is why I think Terry 6-1 is a little bit optimistic, unless of course van Domslaar's not playing for whatever reason. I think if he's in goal, it's going to be difficult. I mean, we came up against obviously the Liverpool goalkeeper the other week, who was really good, made some good saves, and we do seem to come up against some good goalkeepers at every game. Exactly. It seems to happen every week, and this is going to be another case again, isn't it? Because their goalkeeper, I think, is one of the best in the world. I think she's going to be one of the best keepers in the league this year. So we're going to have our forward line is going to have to be really on it on Sunday. Sorry, we're going to have to put our chances away, and we're going to have to be clinical in front of goal, because Aston Villa, as you've said, as Andreas has said, they've got a goal in them, haven't they? You know, they've got a good striker, obviously a golden boot winner last season. So they've got goals in them. Our defence hasn't been great, so you can see them scoring, and we've got to try then and find a way past Daphne van Domslaar at least twice to win the game, which won't be easy, but I think we'll win. I've got to think we'll win, because we have to win. You know, there's no other. Yeah. Is there? We have to win the game. So let's go and win it. I'm going to go 3-1. I think what will happen is that it will be a very, very tight game, and maybe we'll be 2-1 up. Villa will be pushing on towards the end, and we'll get a third on the counter attack in the last sort of 5 minutes and seal it. And it will be happy days. But it's certainly not going to be an easy game. It's going to be a very, very tight game, a tough game. We're going to have to play well. We're going to have to cut out the silly mistakes, and we're going to have to be clinical. Our forward line, whatever forward line it is, whether it's the forward line that starts, the forward line that finishes, they're going to have to be on their game. They're going to have to find a way to score these goals, because this is what we have to do. We can't go three games without a win at the start of the season. We just can't. We can't do it. We cannot afford to do it. Especially as Chelsea have what looks like a very winnable game at home to West Ham. You'd imagine they're going to win that. We'll know because they're playing tomorrow. So we'll already know if they've won. And that puts even more pressure on us then, because then we're going into the game 7 points behind them, aren't we? Because they've got
They've got 4 points. We've got one, so it'll be 6 points. So, yeah.
We'll be six. Yeah, 6 points before we play them. So we have to win, keep that gap within reach of us. So, real, real massive pressure. We've got a comment in there. This keeps coming up every so often from somebody called Trap Tansy Flick. Says, is Tony Tapanovic?
Ask Andreas.
Andreas is a person to speak to. Obviously, as you can see, he's not here. He's on the plane at the moment. I'm not really sure what relevance that is to what we do on this channel. I mean, yes, Andreas is a Bayern Munich fan, and he's probably got some interest in it. But this is a women's show. And I don't really care, if I'm totally honest, about it. I've got no feelings about it whatsoever. I don't know too much about German football. I only have feelings for Bayern Munich because it's Andreas's team, and I want them to do well. But other than that, I don't know too much about them, really, what's going on behind the scenes or anything like that. And I say, I don't really care, if I'm honest, because it's not what we do here. I say Andreas would be the one who would have an opinion on that, I'm sure, because it's his team. But he's not here to answer that question because he's not on the show tonight. So maybe when he's back next week, you can maybe put that question to him. He might want to answer you. And I'm sure he'll have a much better opinion of it than what we do. But anyway, Terry says there, you're boring, mate. I really don't care. I think you should take Sadiq Khan is my choice.
What?
Well, yeah, take Sadiq Khan. Yeah, he can go and do whatever he can somewhere else, as long as he's not ruining our great city of London. He can go and do what he wants. That's a question for a different day on a different, maybe a different channel. And certainly when Andreas was here, he would probably be more happy to speak about that. But we are looking forward to the game. Are you going on Sunday, Amar?
Yeah, I hope to. It's my weekend off. I'm not working. I should be able to go to that, provided I'm feeling a little bit better now. Yeah, it's recovered from a little bit of, I don't know whether it's flu, but yeah. I hope to definitely be there. And I've got to be, I've been told I have to attend at least 7 home games this season to form my membership to Cameroon forward to next season. So I'm going to try and make as many games as I can this season. So yeah, I definitely hope to be there.
Oh, fantastic. Hopefully you might be able to meet up with Andreas.
No. I think I'm thinking block 2 or something. I can't remember, but they're beside me in my seat and I can't remember exactly, but I know I did that. Can't remember exactly where he's, but I hope to be going.
Yeah, that'd be good then, yeah. Obviously, I mean, I'm assuming Harry will probably be there as well. But I don't know what Matt's doing these days. He's become a Scarlet Pimpernel, Matt. We don't really see that much of him. I know he's very busy. He did say he's going to be coming back on the channel again very soon when he gets a chance. I don't know if he's at the game tomorrow or not. He may well be. So look out for him if you are. Of course, Andreas is there. And Andreas has just got a little kind of way to just finish off. You know, we want to thank Andreas, actually, for putting these videos together for us, giving us his thoughts on the show today. He can't be here in person, but he's always here in spirit, and he's here on video tonight, which has been great. So we'll let Andreas sign off for the evening.
If anybody is at the Emirates on Sunday and recognizes me, just say hello. Okay. Have a great show. See you next time. Bye-bye.
If you see Andreas at the Emirates, you know, you can't really miss him. He's very distinctive, isn't he? Because he's very tall for a start off. And I'm sure you'll recognise him if you do. He'll probably be wearing his Arsenal hat as he usually does. So if you do see Andreas on Sunday, say hello. It'd love to meet you, I'm sure. That'd be good. Obviously, Amar as well. If you see Amar, maybe don't get too close to him if he's got the flu. But anyway, say hello to Amar from a distance.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's right.
But it'd be good to, you know, if you see any of us anywhere, any of the games, you know, come and say hello. You know, we're a friendly bunch, and you know, it'd be nice to put a face to some of the names that we see on the channel, people in the chats and stuff like that. You know, it'd be nice to actually meet you in person at one of the games sooner or later. So if you're around on Sunday and you see any of us, say hello, that'd be nice. So there you go. So that is it for tonight then. It's a busy show, isn't it? We've had a lot to discuss. It's been pretty good. So it was great to get Andreas's videos on as well, and it's been a busy week. It's been a difficult start to the season, there's no doubt about that. Out of Europe, only 1 point out of 6 in the WSL to start the season. It's not been what we was expecting. But it's still very early days. We've got plenty of time to turn it around, and let's hope Sunday is the day that we do turn it around. We get that first win, and hopefully then we can push on and go on a run. I think is there an international break after this week, or is it another
week? No, I think we've got Bristol next week, and then I think it's after the Bristol game, is it not?
Yeah, that's right. You're right. I
think
so. It's Bristol, then it's the international break, which actually, although we have 2 international breaks and we don't like not having WSL games, it is the Nations League, a doubleheader against Belgium. I'm quite looking forward to that. We'll worry about that next week. So next Friday, we'll, of course, be here, as always. And Andreas should be back next week. So he'll be here in person next week. And maybe Matt might be available. Who knows? And potentially Harry, we'll see. So definitely join us next Friday at 7:30 for that. It's going to be really good. Of course, there's no... it is an international break for the men, of course. They're playing tonight in a friendly against Australia. Not that we really care about that. But anyway, and it's another game on Tuesday, I think. But I'll be back, of course, on Sunday for the game. Arsenal women against Aston Villa is going to be such a tense game, isn't it? Really is. But I think we'll get the win. I think we'll find a way. We're going to be excited to see the team line up, aren't we? See who Jonas picks to start the game. That's going to be good. So that'll be decent. That. So join me for that one. It's 2 o'clock kickoff, isn't it? So I'll be here about 1:45 for that. And then of course there will be some great footage from. I mean, if Amar wants, if you want to throw some footage in as well for a vlog,
yeah, we'll
put
some
stuff on there. So there'll be some stuff on probably Sunday evening. We'll have that on for you as well. So look out for that. Some great stuff from the Emirates as well on the channel. And of course, next week we will be back. Obviously, the men are back playing next week. Chelsea next weekend. Of course, the women, as we said, Bristol City. So lots and lots of great stuff to come on the channel. Loads of stuff in between as well. So if you haven't done so, please subscribe. Please give us a like as well. Thank you very much to Amar for coming on. He was on time today, which was nice.
Yeah.
Have you enjoyed the
show? Yeah, it's good. It's good. Yeah, it's good. It made me feel a bit better. Yeah, I'm recovering slowly. But no, it's good to talk about what we love. And yeah, it's great. Hopefully not 2 weeks off for next week. I know Friday night games, that was from Champions League. That makes sense, I suppose. But yeah, no, it'll be good. It's good, and hopefully, yeah, not hopefully next week. I'll have my quiz will be back as well, so that's something to look forward to. No, but in the meantime, let's hope that the girls can get the win, and they'll be there. And yeah, and I'm really looking forward to it. So it should be good.
No, exactly. Yeah, we obviously looking forward to the game. It's going to be great, and yeah, we look forward to the quiz coming back next week. Obviously, it's a bit pointless doing it. It's only me here. We'll wait till Andreas is back. So we'll have that next week. And just before we go, Jonas has got some exciting news for us.
We all know that Beth Mead is a quality football player, so of course we're really looking forward to having her back on the pitch again.
So there you go. Yeah. Maybe Beth Mead's going to be playing on Sunday. Who knows? It's from Jonas, as he told us. He's going to be great to have her back on the pitch. Let's hope she's back on Sunday. That'd be good, wouldn't it? If she comes off the bench for 10, 15 minutes at the end, well, that would be brilliant. So if you haven't got your tickets yet for Sunday, there's still some available. Go and buy your ticket. Get to the Emirates. Say hello to Andreas and to Amar and everybody else. It's going to be great. And hopefully you'll be able to cheer Beth Mead as well to make a big comeback, which is what we want. Terry says, great show again, Richard, Andreas, and the amazing Amar. Good to see you three all doing care in the community, having trapped in the chat and the rest of the chat. See you soon. Well, everyone's loud in the chat. We're not bothered, are we? So there you go. But yeah, it's been a good show. I always enjoy it. Great to have Amar with us. As I say, great. Thanks to Andreas for the videos as well. Hopefully he's somewhere over landing somewhere. I don't know what time his flight's landing actually, but he said he was taking off about when the show was on. So I'm assuming he might well have landed by now in London. Let's hope he's found his way okay and he's checked into his hotel. He's all ready for. Obviously he's going to be at the Chelsea West Ham game tomorrow. So that's going to be good. And of course he'll be at the Emirates on Sunday. So look forward to that. So I'll be back, I say, Sunday about 1:45 for the game. So join me for that. Thank you to MR, as always. Thank you to Andreas. Thanks to all you guys in the chat as well. Always some great comments, as usual. And we will, obviously, the weekend starts now. Our show's over. Officially, the weekend starts. So enjoy your weekend, whatever you're doing. Of course, you're going to enjoy Sunday. The Arsenal women are playing at the Emirates. It's going to be great. So definitely join that. And I will see you very soon. Thanks a lot for watching. Thanks to Amar and to Andreas. We will see you soon. Come on, you Gunners. Let's get that first win. Let's do it. Let's do it. See you later, guys. See you Sunday.
Take care.